All right, folks, welcome back to Straight Talk with the Emeralds. Chase Robertson, Peggy Tuck, Charles Sizemore. Hope you're having a great morning. We've been talking about dividend-paying stocks, and you know, one thing I was thinking about this morning as I was thinking about the show, you know, dividend stocks can really help with client experience. And what I mean by that is, you know, securities move up and down. Everything you own literally changes in value every single day. Even your house.
The best quote on the market I think I've ever heard was 100 years ago. Somebody asked J.P. Morgan, the original, not the, you know, the guy the bank's named after, the original J.P. Morgan, Mr. Morgan, what's the stock market going to do? And without missing a beat, he turned to that journalist and said, it's going to fluctuate. That's what happens. It goes up, it goes down. Yeah,
for sure. You could very well buy a stock in the morning and it can be down that day. That's the kind of market you're in. If that does not sound exciting to you, don't get in right now. Sit on the sidelines. Nothing wrong with sitting on the sidelines. Nothing wrong with it at all, especially when it comes to your experience with investing. Because if you're investing and you're not enjoying it, and you know, my opinion in life's too short not to be doing things you don't enjoy. A lot of clients that sit in bank CDs because that fits their risk profile. So understanding that's important, but dividend-paying stocks can help you with your experience with investing because every time you get that check, you know, your investment's making money. You know it's going to fluctuate. Bonds are down, you know?
Even bonds are down this year. Yeah, no, for sure.
I mean, this is some of the safest places to go. Now, you could go to TIPS. TIPS is a good spot to be.
And what are TIPS?
Treasury inflation protected securities. Yeah. And they're doing well. The spread on TIPS is almost 75 basis points. So, I mean.
In plain English, TIPS are bonds that have built-in inflation protection. That's what they are.
That's right.
That's it in a nutshell.
That's right. So that's a good place to be. But other than that, anywhere else you go, securities are going to be moving up and down. If they have an active market and a bid in the ask, they're going to fluctuate.
Yep.
They will be down, they'll be up. But if you're connecting a dividend, that might help you just, you know, Sonny Joe always says paid to wait. I mean, the way I look at it is I made an investment and it's producing cash every quarter.
Well, think about it. If you buy an office building, like let's imagine you're a big money real estate investor. Mm-hmm. You don't see the fluctuations in price on an office building you buy because you don't get it appraised every other day.
Sure.
You get it appraised once every couple of years. So on your balance sheet, it just looks like it's not moving. Well, the truth is, of course it's moving. Yep. If you were to try to sell that office building today, I mean, the price would, there's clearly going to be movement in the price. I mean, you're going to offer, someone's going to offer you, that's how it is. The difference with the stock market is you see it. You see every move. Mm-hmm. Whereas with a less liquid asset, like an office building, you're not going to see that. You're going to keep collecting those rent checks.
Sure.
So if you look at a stock the same way, where you just, you kind of, you know, air quote, you collect those rent checks, you know, the dividend checks, and you focus on that rather than focusing on every little bend and twist in the price, I think that's a healthier way to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you can't focus on the ups and downs. And if you are going to log on to your account every day, look at the ups and downs, and it's going to upset you, you need to sit this one out for right now.
Get a hobby.
I will let you know when
to
get back
gardening.
In, but just sit it out. Sit it out.
Don't. I agree.
Experience is life. You know, having an investment experience that is just nerve-wracking and painful, it's not worth it.
Yeah, what's the old expression? You should sell to the sleeping point. If you're not able to sleep well at night, then you have too much money in the market.
Yeah. No, you should just.
Oh, that's a good point.
Spend time with your kids or your grandkids. Spend on things that are more important. So.
Go out and get a hobby. I saw a story this morning. I'd like to ask either one of you because, we know Chase drives a big Ford truck.
I have my Ford. It's a diesel. I love it. Greatest car I've had. Fantastic.
Okay. So apparently people are, and this just might be the changing times. Now, Charles, I know you love Uber.
Oh, when I travel, that's all
Charles
I use.
Charles and I get into this Uber debate constantly. It goes off the air as well. So
it's never turned into a fist fight, but it might. No, I'm joking.
Hold on. I forgot, Peggy, you like rickshaws. Is that right?
I'm into the rickshaw. A bicycle. But here's the thing. You know, everybody started cutting the cord with the TVs and everything.
Yeah.
There's a trend that is apparently happening with people cutting the car.
Yeah, well, there's a couple people not buying the car and instead using Uber or Lyft. So there's a couple interesting points there. One, I would say the biggest where Uber and Lyft really cut in, the market they cut into more than anything is more like public transit. Like, if you don't want to ride a subway, you don't want to ride a bus with a million other people, you want to have your own private car to stretch out in, and yeah, it's not that expensive, then Uber or Lyft is great. I mean, that what a more comfortable way to commute to work, right? And if you already have a family car that you, I mean, it, at this point, unless you live in New York, Boston, you know, San Francisco, you really can't live without.
Or you work in a downtown area, that might be.
But even if you, even outside of those cities, even if you're in, you work in downtown Houston or something, you still kind of need a car just to putter around town, or you need at least one for the household. Mm-hmm. But whereas before you might have had two or three cars for a household, now you can probably get by with one, and then use Uber or Lyft for your other driving. And so I think it is interesting that, you know, these cars, these services at the margin in urban areas will cut down the number of cars a given household needs to buy. But it is limited to pretty densely packed urban areas. If you live in a fairly rural area, I mean, that vast space between Dallas and Houston, that you have to have a car.
Well, but I mean that's, you know, that could get expensive, having to order up an Uber or a Lyft. I mean, we already have a public transportation.
The average cost of car ownership, you know, between the payment, the insurance, the maintenance, the gasoline, I mean, it's several hundred dollars a month. And so you'd really have to be Ubering a lot to be an equivalent cost, right? Now, of course, if you're comparing Uber to the subway, yeah, the subway's cheaper, for crying out loud. Of course the subway's cheaper. You know, taking the bus is cheaper. It's kind of, you know, what's in your budget, right? Mm-hmm. And also time. I mean, if you're stuck in, you know, gridlock traffic, you know, probably taking a subway or something is better. Now, not every city has a subway. Houston doesn't. Dallas kind of does, but not really.
I mean, look at London. My gosh, they've got the best transportation system. To me, you know, you see cars, but most of the cars you're seeing are taxis.
Yeah, 2003, 2004, or maybe a year or two before that, it was right around the time I was in grad school, London traffic had gotten unbearable. Like, it had gotten intolerable to drive into the city. So they put a massive tax on cars in the old core of London, like the square mile of the city. Like they just said, you know, basically, if you're coming into the city in a car, you're going to get taxed out the wazoo. And so what happened? Well, people started just going to the subway instead. They started taking the tube. And, you know, it worked. So now traffic really isn't a problem in London, in at least most of the central core. It's really not a big deal.
Would you give up your truck, Chase?
Yeah, I mean, I've lived in places, many places. San Francisco, did not have a car in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I did not have a car in New York City. I had a car with a driver in Lagos, Nigeria. I mean,
probably bulletproof.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So, you know, I enjoyed public transportation. In fact, my transportation in San Francisco was fantastic. The stop was right by my house. I got off Citigroup Investment Banking buildings, went straight up to my office.
But if you live in Denver, you live in Houston, you live in Dallas, it's less practical.
For sure, sure. But especially Houston, L.A. But I like my truck, but I also really enjoyed sitting there and just playing on my phone on my, you know, four-stop subway ride in. So,
sure.
Anyway. Well, I think we're bumping up against the final break, aren't we? Anyway, thanks for sticking with us, folks. As Mike Robertson would say, God bless. We'll see you tomorrow at the regular time.